What's happening? Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And sitting with us today, we have
Danny Ruya.
And also
Rick Younger.
And we are Four Guys On. Welcome to Thursday.
This has 1,000 dislikes on YouTube.
Does it really?
That's an easy way to see who deserves to be shot into the sun, by the way.
Well, that right there is a testament to why you can't get caught up in whether people like you. Because I was watching like Michael Jackson, Remember the Time. And I'm like,
yeah,
he obviously has millions of hits and and lots of likes. But the fact that anybody disliked it's like, you can't make a video.
They went there say no.
To say no.
It's like, this is Remember the Time. You know,
it's a fantastic song. Are you serious? Are you
this
serious?
Has, 62,000 likes, but 1,000 people, thumbs down.
So like, that guy doesn't know how to compose.
Exactly. 1,000 orchestra majors.
Yeah. No, thank you.
This guy's a hack.
Totally. Where does Remember the Time rank in the Michael Jackson pantheon?
I
always thought it was underrated. I always thought that and PYT were his two most underrated songs.
I think it's a second-tier song as far as his
what does that mean? Out of the top 10?
Well, you got some of his songs that are just like Billie Jean,
Beat It, like so good.
Thriller, Rock With You.
Thriller, Billie Jean, Rock With You.
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Okay, so those are
The
like
Way You Make Me Feel.
Yes. Those are like all first tier songs.
Yeah.
But then you got second tier songs.
Which, mind you,
second tier for him.
Second tier for him is like, you know, way above first tier for so many people.
Remember the Time.
Smooth Criminal.
Smooth Criminal. What was the one with Chris Tucker's in the video?
Rock With You.
You Rock My World.
Rock My World, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Was there You Rock My World in the song?
Yeah, Rock My World. That was the latest one. Rock With You is the '70s.
Those songs are like second tier ones. The great songs. Even like his song he has now with Justin Timberlake. It's a good song. It's a second tier song.
I never liked Remember the Time that much. I don't think that would be on the top 10.
Well,
I could
see, one thing about Remember the Time. Remember the Time is, first of all, I thought it took Michael back to a soulful sound that was way more R&B than what he had been doing.
Teddy Riley.
Around that time. It was produced by Teddy Riley. But that video for its time was like, it came on a Sunday night after
The Cosby Show, right?
After In Living Color.
On the Black
right.
Sunday.
It
was just
on
Black
Fox,
Sunday.
It was Fox.
You know what you're thinking is? Because Fox had Black Sunday. Thursday was black because of the Cosby
Show. Why don't they have a white day?
But Fox had Black Sunday. Because they had The Simpsons.
I thought a different Jackson video went on after In Living Color.
I'm sure he did more than one. But I remember it because it was like one of those things where it was like, it was an event. And it
was
like,
thing, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like Magic Johnson was in the video, Eddie Murphy,
the whole
dance thing. It was like, it was
an event. Sand.
Right.
Yeah, the special effects.
Right. It was like, nobody made a video like that. It, even, you know, Michael outdid himself with that one.
I know what you're thinking of. You're thinking of the black or white one. The long extended one where he beat up the car.
Yeah.
That's the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, that
turned into a panther at
the
end.
That was on NBC?
Yes. That's the one you're thinking of. Because that one was not as good.
No.
The morphing technology, that was the first time we'd ever really seen that. Yeah. Or people were morphing into other people. But the video itself, he beat up a car. I'm like, come on, man. You
beat
a
lot.
Car?
He beat the fuck out of that car.
And he would pause and there'd be wind. And there's so much wind. They're like,
a car. Like, why are you beating
people
up a
looking
car?
On like, why is he beating up a car like that?
Are you beating up a
calm
car?
Down, Mike.
He beat shit out that car.
That was a statement against GM.
I mean, I guess. And he was grabbing his crotch a lot. I remember the big write-up the next day was he kept grabbing his crotch so much. I'm like, you just now noticed he's grabbing his crotch?
Yeah, we counted 61 crotch grabs or something.
I'm somebody like, who are you that's the crotch? Like, look, intern. You're going to have to count the crotch
grabs. Count them up.
And he was wearing the long arm brace.
Yeah, the brace.
At the time. Yeah. Yeah,
the carpal tunnel. He was a secretary.
Somebody argued with me that he hurt it. He hurt himself.
Yeah, the brace.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, we plugged in himself.
No, we're good.
I thought I just touched it.
Well, no, you
touched
this.
We've had some problems with that.
This is the thing. But I got a new plug. I got a new plug-in. Which
before we sat down, Andy was like, "Listen, I know you flail your arms around like a psychopath.
Yes,
please don't hit this plug."
Harry.
If you want a straight jacket, I have one in my bag. I think Human Nature is Michael Jackson's best song. That's the one I'd never change when it comes on.
That's a good.
You change all the Michael Jackson songs then?
At time. I mean, if you hear them a
lot. You know what I will change? Beat It.
Yeah.
If I'm not in the mood, I'll change off.
Well, you know what? I like the Off the Wall album. I think that's his best album. It's like musically, and you know, I've worked with musicians, you know, and musically.
Sing something. Can you sing?
Sorry, go ahead.
But musicians love that song musically, yeah. Instrumentally, the whole production
album.
Wise.
Working
that
day and night.
That is his best album. Working day and night. I work out to that song.
Honey,
yeah, I like to
got
run
me
that.
Working
like
day and night.
How my cardio. Thank you. See, Danny, you started him.
Got to be starting something. Am I right, Rick? That's one of his songs as well.
Good. If you're lucky, you'll get a Jackson song occasionally on the radio. Like usually the Heartbreak Hotel is the one they play.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get Let Me Show You the Way to Go.
Let Me Show You the Way to Go. Yes.
Fantastic song.
What's the? I love Blame It on the Boogie.
Yeah, that's another.
That video is fun to watch because that was like early video technology.
Remember when the Victory video, Can You Feel It
Can
came
you feel
out
it?
Remember
yeah,
that video?
Yeah.
Everybody was like, it's like a movie.
Yeah.
it's like a movie.
Tells a story.
They've even added extra musical things that isn't on the album version.
And now we have Miley Cyrus.
It's the same.
Well, I mean, she's huge. She sells way more than Michael Jackson did.
She's huge.
I don't know. Because the industry is totally right? different as far as sales now.
For a first album, I mean, yeah, they count shit differently. But all those, I mean, all the when they changed the way sales get counted, all these people started breaking records. Like Backstreet Boys sold more than anybody for like the first week sales, shit like that. All these people are selling ridiculous amounts. Not like Michael Jackson numbers, maybe. I mean, that was exaggerating, but. They sell tons of copies of singles. They don't sell albums, though. Yeah.
You know what I will do if I'm watching VH1 Soul, which I don't know if you people have VH1 Soul, but if you don't, you're missing out. When I watch VH1 Soul and they show like a block of live Michael Jackson videos, those are amazing. Watching him perform live, do like Another Part of Me or something like that.
I bet the whole stadium smells like urine.
Probably, because no one leaves. Everybody just stands in one spot for hours. I'm like, you're pissing
yourself.
He made
me pee.
It's like watching any live Prince. You're like, Jesus Christ.
So my buddy's bachelor party, right? We all go to Miami, and we got to give his older brother, he's like, is he going to need $200 for these tickets for a Saturday night? We're like, we're like in our mid-20s. We're like, fuck this. Wait, ticket money. Some dumb club or whatever. We roll into Mansion. I don't know if you guys have ever been there in Miami. I don't belong there. I'm awkward. But whatever. We go in. It's Sheila E. with Prince playing backup.
Really?
So he's trying to put her over. Yeah. And he plays every instrument in the fucking band.
Right.
And then he takes over for like the encore. He just does an hour. The greatest goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life. For like 300 people at this stupid nightclub. And he killed it. I fell in love.
Yeah, well, you should have.
Like Jamie Foxx. I looked in his eyes.
He's like, give me that.
He had the skater suit on.
Your boots.
He had the skater suit on with the attached boots.
You had to purify yourself in the world.
I saw him when he made his pancakes, man.
You can't make that up.
That shit was hilarious. I saw him.
Priest
Kim
Ball. I'm sorry.
Did you see the thing where he said that he was going to do that? He did the album cover where he's holding pancakes.
Yeah.
Prince's album cover. He's like, he's holding a plate of pancakes.
They were setting these fruity ass pics.
I think he's got like an underrated sense of humor because he doesn't really talk much. And on the last Arsenio, when he had Arsenio, had him on for like the whole hour. He did like three songs. When they were winding Arsenio down, and he was like, fuck it, I'll just start bringing it back. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, do what I want.
I don't give a shit. So we had him on for like, this last season, he had him on for three shows, and they talked to him. He told a story about how they went to a party.
At Charlie Murphy's house?
No, it was Arsenio, Prince, and Eddie Murphy. And they left the club and went to an after party. And then they're sitting there, and he was like, we went to this after party, and the Prince goes, weren't we in somebody's living room? He was like, yeah, it was like this guy's house, some dude in the hood. He said, and they were sitting in the kitchen, and Prince just sat with his legs folded the whole time, just looking around. He said he didn't drink nothing, he didn't touch nothing. He said Eddie was running through the house. He was like, can we leave?
Well, Eddie Murphy played every guest in the house.
I toured with Tracy Morgan, and in his last special, he tells the story of how he got thrown out of Prince's house. That's a true story.
Do you have to do? Well, I can see Prince being like,
Tracy stayed. He was drunk and he stayed. And he's like, Prince, like, Tracy, you got to go.
Party's over.
I don't think I would want to get drunk in Prince's house.
Well, at that time, Tracy
don't get
that. He got drunk a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't drink anymore. But
by the way, yeah. I saw a picture today of Artie going home.
Yeah, Artie went home on Thursday.
Artie Fuqua standing up.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was while he was standing by a car in the street, like he got out of the car. How's he walking? Have you seen him?
I haven't actually seen him. I for a little background information, I toured with Tracy and Artie and all the guys who were in the accident. So you know, we all heard about the accident and everything.
Yeah.
But Artie was injured the worst out of everybody in the whole thing. So Jeff, Tracy's assistant, and Tracy have all, you know, all gone home from the hospital by now. Jimmy Mack we lost in the accident, and Harris Stanton, who was in the car, he just had a broken arm.
I saw Harris's talking to a reporter about it.
Yeah,
so he's fine. He broke his arm. He's
right.
Harris is a good dude.
He's hilarious too.
Y'all talked baseball. Harris is a baseball player.
I talked to him once.
Yeah, he's a baseball player.
He played in the Cubs. He was with Patrice.
He played in the Cubs organization.
Yeah. Yeah, he was better than I was.
Yeah, yeah, right. He got to keep his shirt.
I know.
He's a baseball guy.
But yeah, Artie is finally going home. So
good.
That's good.
Well, I mean, they're about to get paid by Walmart. Walmart's about to come up off some money. They don't have that.
But in the meantime,
get, you know, if Tracy wasn't involved, I would.
Oh, it should be
gone. They would drive. They would probably make it run out so long till everybody kind of like that. Just give me $5.
Yeah,
you know. But they don't want the publicity.
I was talking to Harris one time about my theory on certain type of comics. That comics are like hitters. Like some comics are slap hitters. Where they just kind of, for those who don't know, a slap hitter is in baseball. You want to explain a slap hitter?
Yeah, this guy makes a lot of contact, doesn't strike out a lot of singles.
Gets on base, singles.
Not scraping base. The walls, not hitting bolts. Yeah.
Usually he's he bats first or second because he's going to get on. He's a slap hitter, gets on base. And then hopefully he's fast, and then the guy behind him can drive him in. So some guys are like that comedy-wise. They just kind of, they do the job. Okay. Some dudes are just power hitters. That to me was Patrice.
But they strike out a lot.
Patrice was a power hitter. I've seen Patrice do poorly, and I watched him do amazing, and it was like no middle ground. He's either going to destroy this crowd or this crowd ain't going to go.
Right. Polarizing effects. So there's some people just like hate him because they're like
power
hitters.
Know,
they don't want to hear what he's talking about.
But there's dynamics. There's
people, but then
power, and that's why power hitters stay in the game because they're dynamic.
And he also had a lot of, especially like he had like a lot of guys with man crushes on him, like because he says the stuff that so many guys want to say,
and he didn't get to say. Now, how many power hitters? What's the number of strikeouts before you get rid of a power hitter and you send him down to the minors? You don't.
You don't even look at that column.
You don't.
How many home runs? 40?
That's good. That's good. What's his RBI total? Yeah. That's fine. You know, and then you have guys who are like the Derek Jeter. That to me is a guy like a Bill Burr. And you know what? I shouldn't say Jeter because Jeter's above that guy. A consistent player, like a 5-tool player who's consistently always doing the right job, always in the right place, always does the right job, always does the same thing. That's like the Bill Burr and stuff like that. Sometimes those guys can ascend into the Derek Jeter where you become you rise above the game. There's your Chris Rock. You know, there's your Louis C.K. There's your good, not a power hitter, no.
Gallagher.
Well, of course.
For name and names. Yeah, thank you.
You see what I'm saying?
I mean,
that was my thought as baseball players. So me and Harris were talking about that. I said, the point is, what do you want to be? Do you want to be I don't want to be a slap hitter, comedy-wise.
Well, I'd love to be a power hitter, but I can't.
Yeah,
I can't
that's
say
the
same things. I can't do that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So that's out. So you got to figure, okay, my
what else can
what
I do
doesn't lend itself to that. So I want to be a utility player, you know, and hopefully – you ascend into the next.
I'm content to sit on the bench and do a radio show. Yeah.
Is there
nothing
a middle
wrong with
reliever?
That? You're in the game. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You're still in the game.
Why do you have to be hitters?
You're still in the game.
A double-A base coach over here.
You say you're a middle reliever. You're still in the game.
I'm going to pick up the bat.
Brother, at this point, we're announcers. Okay, that's where we're at. We are announcing.
Low and outside.
Batting second, right-handed, number two, Derek Ajita. Derek Ajita. You guys all know about the Tony Stewart thing. Now, I've been Tony Stewart, for a little background, NASCAR racer, was involved in an accident that resulted in the death of a driver on a dirt track. Okay. I just found out today that NASCAR now has changed their rules. You can't get out of the car. No one gets out of a car in a NASCAR race. So that's a stupid rule. I don't know why they even put that rule in place.
It's happened like three times.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Cars are going 180 miles an hour. No one's getting out of a car. You fucking sit. First of all, you've hit the wall so hard, you have to get cut out of the car generally.
Wall so hard.
Yeah. Wall so hard. So, but on a dirt track, they're only, I think, what's the top speed on a dirt track? 45 miles an hour?
Something like maybe. That. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. It's top of my head.
They're small tracks, you know, so he hit the kid for however, and the kid died. What did you hear as far as sports radio people calling in and stuff like that? Because a lot of people have been defending.
It's
his fans who defend Tony Stewart.
Two direct sides. It's mostly the NASCAR folks who want to prove how inside sort of the track, forgive the expression, that they are. And the overwhelming sentiment is, he should have been out of his car. That's it. That's all that is the whole point of the story. He should have been out of his car.
Right.
It's this kid's fault. And, you know, while it's tragic, it's on him. And then you get the folks with, you know, and I'm not a NASCAR guy, just for full disclosure, who will go, this is outrageous. This is outrageous that there it's anything other than the fact that an avoidable death happened on a racetrack.
Yeah.
Please take more steps. Please stop blaming this victim here who got out of his car. So you get the people
well,
that aren't
NASCAR.
In the
video, it sounds like he guns it right when he passes the
kid. There are some incriminating things where
he shouldn't have been dressed like that.
Just
like
he was
asking for
it. Well, there's the thing on a dirt track with these sort of these sprint cars. Now, just to give people more of an analogy, some more background, talking about baseball. If you say Derek Jeter played for the Yankees, say on off nights he went and played for AA Syracuse.
Yeah.
That's the analogy from NASCAR to sprint car or even high school. It's like close to the same level. He just loves the drive. He was hurt in a sprint car accident a while ago, shocking.
It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Okay. He ran somebody else off the road, and that person had a compressed spine. A lady. He ran her off the road. She had a compressed spine. Broke his own leg in these dirt tracks.
In these sprint track things. So it'd be like,
he's also gotten to fights in his strip, let's say. He's gotten out of his car.
It's like Robert Griffin going to play at the local high school.
He's thrown his helmet at...
That wasn't a sprint track.
Other people?
Yeah. That was NASCAR.
Well, that's all leads to... He's got this weird, like, hothead.
So this is not a great dude when it comes to being on the course. I mean, he is, for whatever you want to call it, you know, some people say that, you know, you should be able to get over it. They turn these things on and off as people, then as racers or athletes, competitors, etc. The people that aren't NASCAR folks react to this one way, and the NASCAR fans almost defensively. Because every time an eye gets put on something negative in sports, whether with the league of denial, with the NFL and concussions, there are people that just defend no matter what because they think their thing is under assault.
Right.
NASCAR people felt attacked because people go, hey, you ever notice that all they do is use a bunch of gas and go around in a circle? This is probably a waste of time. This is bad. And as soon as something negative happens, the sport itself is on trial.
Yeah.
So you get people that are NASCAR fans, there is a sprint, forgive the pun, but there is a sprint to defend the sport and sort of the goings-on of the sport are you don't get out of your car no matter what. And that was sort of their sentiment.
They seem to like the people who say that, you don't get out of the car no matter what, all like the fact that Tony Stewart is this hothead who would get out of his car. But then this other kid gets out of the car. Now I don't like it.
Right.
I don't like when he does it, but I like the fact that Tony Stewart is a hothead.
Well, but there's other responsibility. Like, all right, that accident didn't seem that violent. But if you do get into an accident, and let's say you hit your head and you're not in the right mind and you climb out of your car, just like a boxer might get up and start trying to throw punches again.
Yeah, punch drunk.
You can't hold him responsible. You don't know. He might have had a concussion. He might have just been wandering around like, you know, he's angrily pointing and shit, but he might not have been thinking correctly because he just got in a car accident. So he might not have been getting out of his car for, you know, pure enough reasons for people. So don't get out of your car. It's easy to say, but you might just climb out because you don't know what the fuck's going on. And then you're out on a track. So the people driving around have to be aware that there might be a guy on a track who's not thinking clearly.
Personally, I think he tried to drive near the kid to scare him.
Throw dirt on him.
Throw a little dirt on him. And got away from him, and the kid ended up dead.
That's what I think, too, by the
way. That's exactly what I think.
People that know a lot more than me who have either witnesses or spoke about it, or another guy who was a driver was in the stands, talks about what happens when you throttle the engine, when you gun it, which is the thing.
You get a drift.
The car sets a certain way, which means that as you start to kick up, it's going to the back part's going to fishtail almost like you would in a skid, but that's at the outset of driving on these dirt track cars. Tony Stewart has been around enough. I would be stunned if that happened. I'd take my foot off the gas. I go, holy shit,
right.
This car's not doing what I thought it would.
Right.
A guy that's got that many thousands of hours behind the wheel does know that to an effect. Yeah. So I'm with you, Randolph. I think he, in his mind, for that split second goes, I'll teach this kid a lesson.
Yeah.
And it got away from him.
Well, you know, I know nothing about this. I'm just a guy. No, I mean, I know about it in general, but I'm like, I'm so not into the racing thing. I'm that guy who, I'm at a point in my life where I drive slow now.
So like, I can see that. You know. We're almost all there.
I said, here come Rick Younger. Rick turned high on turn four. He rubbed that some bitch going 27.
That's exactly how they all sound.
27.
He going 27 and 25.
27.
Yeah. He's under caution.
Now I heard that he's thinking about retiring now.
It's a good start. Might be a good time.
Because his mind ain't right.
He can't engage, man. It's like Maverick.
His mind ain't.
Keep sending him up.
Just send him up again. His mind ain't right. I don't know. I mean, you look, you know if you did something, you know what you tried to do. So unless you get to the point where you convince yourself that that wasn't what I tried to do, but you know what the fuck you tried to do. You know if you tried to squirt dirt under the kid or not, and you sucked him in and he died. Only Tony Stewart knows what it is.
Even if you're doing the right thing. And someone dies accidentally. Like if you're a pitcher and if you're a batter and you hit a line drive at a pitcher and it hits him and kills him, you still might be gun shy about batting again.
You might. Yeah.
So it's not just because of guilt or he knows what's going on in his mind. A dude died while he was driving, so he might retire because he can't get on behind the wheel.
He might. I don't like people who have that, who are praised for being basically an asshole. I've never liked that.
Right. Don't be a douchebag. Too many people do it right for us to tolerate anything else.
This guy's an asshole, and we're all...
I mean, I think of this.
He's fiery.
Well, the first thing I thought of was when I was a kid, I was playing a game of 21 at my local park with a bunch of my neighbors. And this kid I was really good friends with, named Casey, fouled the shit out of me and like was malicious about it, was pissed off that I was winning, whatever it was. Pushed me to the ground, so I fell like 10 feet, stumbled. And my hand landed on a rock that was the perfect throwing size. I turned and reacted and threw the rock at him.
Right.
Now, a million scenarios would arise where I would never throw the rock at my friend Casey. You could say, would you ever throw a rock at your friend Casey? No, of course not. Well, I did that one time.
Did you drill him?
Yeah. I mean, I hit him right in the small of the back because I had a hose and played baseball. But I mean, I nailed it. And I went, oh, my God, that's the worst. That's the worst thing I've ever done. Yeah, of course you did.
Were you happy for a second?
No.
Just for a second.
By the time the release happened,
you were like,
I go, oh, fuck me. This was the wrong thing to do. But in that moment of anger, you know, so Tony Stewart's mind for that.
Plus, there's no
foul. Did he ever foul you again?
There's no fouls in 21. There's no rules in 21.
Yeah, you can't. Did he ever foul you again?
Not like that.
Well, then
somebody
did the right thing.
Somebody learned a lesson.
But the point is, though, that split second where I go, I'm not, this is
dumb.
That's not who I am. I'm not this person. But
I reacted. You could have hit him in the head.
Yeah. I could have done tons of damage instead of leaving just a mark on the small of his back.
And you know how to throw. You know how to step in and shift your weight, so you go like,
you turned a double play on
them.
It was deep in the hole. You know the running throw that Jeter does? So I half got up, side-arm I spun. It. Oh, I nailed him.
In the biopic, Chadwick Boseman would see that, and that's the moment.
That's the moment. Did he go down like he was shot?
Yeah, he did that because he couldn't quite reach it, so he did that like the lurch forward thing where he like made the I'm a little teapot move as he fringed his back, trying to touch his shoulder blades together, and like a video. He made the video game villain sound,
right?
The Star Wars guy falling off the top.
That is so fantastic. Yeah. And then did you have to play tough because all the other kids were like, ooh,
now Ron, say a rhyme with your name.
No, as soon as I did, I ran over. I was I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you mess around with Danny, I'll hit you in the fanny.
I'm like young Dave Chappelle for some reason.
Now check it up. Check. Let's play.
Get your bitch ass off the court.
Let's go. Step up.
Did you guys?
Anybody else want to foul me?
When you played 21, did you guys go back to 11 or 13?
Tip out 11.
If you were past 11 and got tipped, you went to 11.
Because I know a lot of people went back to 13. We always went back to 11.
11.
But that's a big 11. Debate.
Who goes back to 13?
I don't know.
Why 13?
Because
that doesn't even make sense.
Here's a logic.
Andy, who the fuck are these people?
Here's a logic. If you are at, let's say, 20, right, and you have to go back, you make a shot, it puts you to 22, for example, you have to go back.
Yeah.
We would go back to 11, but the thinking is you made a shot, so you should get points for that shot. So you technically have gone back to 11 and gotten 2 points, to hit 13.
Are you talking about tip on a tip-in?
Not a tip-in. Just a typical, you miss 21, you have to go back.
Which one of your fucking friends was a statistician and thought this shit up?
To go back to 13?
I don't even know why.
We played to 11. These are my friends.
So
as a matter of fact, these are my enemies coming up with a rule like
these
that.
These fucking weird statistician people.
We were at Prince's house playing 21.
Communists.
We never played tap, for example. First of all, we did like at first, but we never really followed up on that. We just played regular 21. If you got to 20 and you missed your free throws, or if you were at 20 and you hit a 2-point shot, for example, which you know there's nothing you can do about it, you had to go back to 11.
Yeah.
Some people I've spoken to since then played the same way, but they went back to 13, which I think is ridiculous. I don't know why you would ever.
That's absurd. That's 11. Yeah. I thought that was the international rule.
No, there's different rules.
If you go to Saudi Arabia right now, there's kids going back to 11.
No, you chop your hand off.
Oh,
that's what happens. You lose your hand.
Like you don't make your free throw, you lose a hand.
Non-shooting hand, you can still play.
We went to 11, and then occasionally you'd have different, like the tip out rule. Like if I tip you, you're out.
Yeah, we never played that way. Yeah.
You're out?
Yes.
Y'all sound like y'all played in some nice neighborhoods that had basketball hoops.
And nets.
Well, I played on military bases, so there was hoops everywhere on a military base.
I grew up.
Hoops, nice parks.
Like, I grew up in my grandmother's neighborhood, even though I didn't live there. I grew up there because I was there 5 days a week, and they had no basketball hoop. So we played baseball until football season. And, you know,
I could see that. We play.
Oh, a lot of times I've seen certain neighborhoods do this. They put a lot of money into the tennis courts, but they let those basketball hoops get decrepit because they don't want certain people showing up in the neighborhood.
Those kind of people
coming around.
The kind that throw rocks after fouls.
We had, when I grew up on military bases, there was basketball hoops everywhere because it's base housing. Buildings literally like this that we're in right now.
Right.
This would be base housing, but there's like a park over here for kids and blah, blah, blah. So there's always basketball hoops. We moved home to Texas. You could go to the school and shoot. That's a big one. You go to the school and shoot. Or somebody had a hoop on their garage. We had a hoop on our garage. My father bought us a hoop until you broke that motherfucker. Somebody was always some tall kid on a dunk.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker ended up cracked immediately. Yeah. And then you just had a backboard up with no, that never came back down.
My father tried to make us a basketball hoop in our backyard, and the bad kids who lived on the other side of the fence would come into our yard when we weren't home, and they destroyed our hoop. And my father, I ain't been no more.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like, we got punished for them.
Exactly. And then we played baseball. Well, we had Little League. But we didn't really play. I played Little League baseball. I was pretty good. I probably should have stuck with it, but I was like, it's too fucking hot in Texas, man. Are you serious? I had a curl then, too? Oh, my God.
Come on. Which explains your hairstyle now.
Come on, yeah.
You chose curl over baseball. You could have cut your hair.
Standing out.
He's like, I'm trying to make it on Soul Train.
I played with a curl. You know how hot that was?
You could pitch, you could put some movement on the ball.
looking like Jesse Barfield.
Great pull on Jesse Barfield.
I played left and first base.
Some George Bell
San Antonio, Texas.
You look like the whole Toronto Blue Jays outfield in the 1980s.
By the way, George Bell, the least Latin guy ever. George Bell sounds like a dude who lives down the street. Baseball is very good for me.
Yeah, baseball is very good. What's your name? George Bell.
George Bell.
Jorge Bell.
We're going to call you George. Rich.
We're just calling you George, buddy.
Well, when Roberto Clemente first came in the league, they kept trying to call him Bobby.
Bob? Is this Roberto?
Bobby Clements.
Bobby Clements.
It's like, you've got to assimilate. Now it's like Dominicans are running it.
No names that end in vowels. All right.
See this thing about, this was so funny to me. 96 bodies you won't see on billboards. Here it comes, ladies.
I don't click on these things, man.
Well,
I do for this.
It seems like everything now is a list.
It's clickbait.
Like the whole internet is lists and mysteries.
Yeah,
you won't believe what happened next.
I bet you believe it. Yeah, I bet you I fucking believe it.
I don't click on those at all. I'm like, you know what? Somebody's going to have to tell me.
It'll be like 31 things you need to know before you die.
That's too many things.
Number 28 blew me away. Like, I got to read through all the first 27 because 28 is the one.
17 life hacks.
Life hacks.
The article is that it's 96 bodies you won't see on billboards. Here's what's happening.
First of all, most of us average guys see those bodies all the time and don't need to look on a billboard.
Exactly. Right. Here's what's happening. A lot of these women are like, I feel bad because all these women are saying, and they're not real women, which I've always had a problem with. I'm a personal trainer. I can tell you, you can change body in anything you want. I see people do it every day. You can change your body into anything you want it to be. You can.
Can you make your dick bigger?
That you cannot do.
Oh,
I'm sorry. There's
maybe
no.
Make
a, there's
make
no
thighs and
there's
stomach
no exercise.
Smaller.
There's no exercise for that. So they have convinced themselves that
get the right angle with your camera.
That
phone.
They're the real woman, and the woman that is on the billboard
is fictional.
Is fictional, and they're not. So right. She's not real. I'm real with my four chins. Well, I'm real.
The other thing too is because real you'll big. See women who are thin will post the here's my real picture. It's the without Photoshop. Thing.
Yeah.
Or the no makeup.
No picture. Filter.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
no filter.
Filter.
No filter. I'm like, I don't want to see you.
Like, that's an unnecessary hashtag. Hashtag me when you use a filter. Let me know.
So here's the first picture right off the bat they want you to know. Only 5% of women have the body type we see on billboards and in TV commercials. Right. You can stop right there. The reason why, those are the women that you want to see in billboards and TV commercials. I'm sorry. That's why there's only 5%.
It's advertising.
It's also hard to get that.
Exactly. Right.
You know what I mean? It's like hard to do.
They don't see that. They don't see. They think that. Now, with some models are just skinny, but some people are talking. They work.
That's 1%
to
then.
Be that.
Less than
1%
mean? Probably.
Yeah, less
you
than 1%.
The Exposé Project wants you to see the remaining 95%. So there's the first one. That's a real woman right there.
Okay.
This is a Huffington Post article for those of us.
A real woman. A real
I
woman
hate
who.
That website.
A real woman who likes ice cream. Here's the other ones that are real women.
I'm not going to lie. I probably hooked up with women with all those bodies.
There's a couple of them in there. I mean, let's not be honest.
Like, truth be told, if we tell the truth about all the women we've ever hooked up with.
Let's just be honest. We've all slump-busted.
We all
using a baseball term.
Hey, some of us run
sometimes there's a big girl who's just sexy, and you just got to go for
but
it.
But they – I just like, here's a pregnant woman.
I've seen that body type before.
Here's a – just a large woman. Here's a slim one.
Is that a dude? Oh, she's
yeah, right. Woman with a huge tattoo on her back. Woman with a boy's body. Look at that woman. She's built like Cartman.
Yep.
She has a boy's body.
Well, look, when you go to McDonald's, right, and they have the picture of the Big Mac.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't
that, your
know.
Big Mac that you get never
look
looks
that.
Like that.
What's yeah. That's like sprayed with oil and like
right.
There's like a.
It's the idea.
I've been in a McDonald's commercial. I have seen how they make the burgers look like they.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
be putting in an extra piece of bread underneath to make the bread look more like fluffy.
Yeah, yeah. Stand
you know,
up.
It's like the actual burger that they use in the commercial burger isn't like. It's like yeah. not necessarily
not
fully
real.
Cooked because
right.
it looks better at this point.
Right.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, but if you went to McDonald's, you want to see the ideal burger on the advertisement.
Right.
You want to see, like, here's what a real burger looks like. And it's some sloppy, mashed-down, shitty burger with yeah. ketchup all over the place.
It's just, so the woman who did this, journalist Gillian Drummond, who wrote about participating in the shoot for Three Story Magazine, wrote, "The few hours I spent there were electric and empowering." Why is that empowering? And that's, I'm not a woman, so I don't know.
Right. She
and
feels beautiful.
Funny
glad,
and sincere and loving and
you
sore.
You stopped yourself to realize.
Yeah, I know. And very, very emotional. I tell my daughter all the time, people come in all shapes and sizes, and I wish she had been there to witness how true this statement was that summer afternoon in Tucson. There were big boobs, little boobs, hardly any boobs, pregnant bellies, cesarean scars, other scars, briefs, thongs, boy shorts, high-waisted Spanx affairs, and some undies removed altogether.
Why is this such a big deal for women? At the risk of saying something that I probably get in trouble for.
This one right here might actually get done. I'm trying to tell you.
Well, but here's the thing. Like,
this one's not bad, right?
They want to be objectified.
Well, yeah. The men
it seems like they do want to be objectified.
Well, the objection is that
pictures.
They are objectified oftentimes, like, right? And you get the like, yes, all women or whatever hashtag about empowerment because some chick got caught doing porn and all of a sudden, it's on us is why she tried to keep secret. But
it's hard not to get caught doing porn.
Well, but like, but my thing about it is dudes get socialized too. You know what I mean? Like actors look a certain way. Like dudes with models with six pack abs and huge hogs. Like if you don't have all those things on the checklist, you're not going to be happy.
There's a reason why Jason Statham stays working.
Well, like
that dude stays working.
But here's my point.
Rick Younger, not so much.
Well, by and large,
there's a reason why. Chad Boseman.
Dudes can seem to be able to deal with that for some reason. Whereas it's this crushing sociological pressure for women. They can't handle it. I understand that you may feel a certain way. I guess my question is why?
Well,
because they do it to each other a lot. I fully believe that.
I think there's also something. I mean, Rob Mayer of the Rob and Joe Show podcast had this great point. He never really made it much of a bit, but it was a great point that, for example, with movies, there's a lot of actresses, when they get naked, will go see the movie. men will go see the movie. We won't go see it unless she's sexualized.
Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, there's an example, yeah. Women will still go see a Daniel Craig movie if he's wearing a suit the whole time. They won't demand that out of men. So for men, we're like, well, we need... So the way the system is set up is women have to be more sexual. Even a fucking woman's volleyball player is wearing a thong now, basically, like a beach volleyball player, to get people to watch. So they have this pressure, like, the only worth I have is sexual. So if I'm not one of these top 1% or whatever, no one's going to care. So, but then what they do is, I want to be sexual, because they're still sort of in that mentality. I want to be sexualized. So then these articles come out. Instead of the article saying, stop objectifying women, it's objectify more of them.
Yeah.
You know, all of them, because we still need to get worth out of that.
Don't objectify these.
Whereas
three.
A guy, it's like, here's 10 guys who wore a suit well.
Well, you know,
cool.
I think...
Find my scar sex.
I think you asked that question, and we don't have anyone here who can really answer it. We're just giving our own opinion about
it. Well, that goes without saying, and I don't have a problem with that. And I'll listen to any woman who
But, you know, the thing is, like, you were talking about that, but it still comes down to the fact that the people who make the decisions about which women get seen,
right?
It's not a woman making that decision. So right. then it's mm-hmm. like this small category of women that appeal to these people who make the decision. You know, they make statements like sex sells, but it's like, or they talk about the power of television and film, but they only talk about it when it fits them. So like, instead of saying, hey, television is a powerful thing, so we can decide to put out images that make every woman feel loved or make every woman
We've
feel appreciated.
We've talked about that before.
You can do the same thing, like even with race. It's like they say television and film is powerful, yet they won't give leads to minority actors.
Yeah,
it's, you know.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that with the fashion industry. The fashion industry is ran by gay men. But what do gay men find attractive? I'll tell you what they find attractive. Randolph Terrence. Okay.
Let me write that down.
So,
so if you look at the models, they look like Randolph.
What are they built like? They're built like boys. Tall, lean.
Broad shoulders.
That's what they like. Broad shoulders, dashingly handsome.
And you have no tits.
Yeah.
None.
I have no tits. Sorry. Danny's got my tits.
I hate them.
I have no tits. And that's what they like. I don't like when women say that this is real, therefore this is not real. That I don't like. I read an article that another woman...
Because they'll hate on the skinny
bitches. Another woman wrote, I think my cousin sent it to me. He knows this girl who is a... she's like a lifter, and she's very lean, but she looks... Take a tall, lean person and kind of push them down, and that's what you have. So she's lean, but she's pushed down. Like her thighs are...
A little squat, if that makes sense. Yeah.
And she's squatting
lean.
And she has a problem with body issues from that because she's not built like other girls.
She's not 5'10 and...
Yeah,
you know, with legs that are 4'9". Tough,
but I'm like, she clearly has... That's my foot, man. Don't worry about it. She clearly has no problem getting a man.
Right.
She gets men. She's very attractive. She's very lean. Very lean. Yeah, exactly. She can get... So she was like, according to those women, her body is not real because she works out.
Well, here's the
thing.
She's
not real. She's like, I am real.
The real...
I'm just not heavy.
The real thing, I don't like the real thing no matter how it's coming, because like... I see a lot of this, like, a real man does this.
Yeah,
is that
what a real man does?
Like, no, there's a lot of real men who are assholes. But guess what? They're still real.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you
We're all real.
Yeah.
It's just, what do you...
Real Americans.
Real Americans.
That's the first thing I thought of was, it's dumb when Sarah Palin says it.
Yeah.
It's dumb here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. real Americans. Colin Powell chastised her butt good one day, very in that Colin Powell way, when she was saying that people who live in this is where the real America is. I can't do it. Sarah Palin, but this is where the real... Can you do a Sarah Palin?
No. She sounds like a dumb idiot.
I've never listened to her long enough to find out what her voice sounds like.
He was like, this is where the real Americans... Because she was in some little country hamlet.
Yeah, the Don
Cheadle. Real America is. And Colin Powell was like, I grew up in New York City. I went to the City College of New York. I'm just as real...
Phony.
I'm just as real an American as anybody else. As a matter of, if anything, I'm an American success story.
But from that point of view, all they see on the billboards of America for representing America are New York City.
Are New York City, yeah.
So it's like, why won't you, you know, forget those phony New Yorkers. We're real over here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, because a lot of those people in Wisconsin...
They don't have a representation.
They don't have representation. But I think a lot of them aspire to... Not all of them, obviously. But a lot of them do aspire to live in New York City or in a big city. But it's scary.
Well, I live in New York
City. Picking up and moving to a big spot like that.
But you know, the thing that is so very interesting is, you know, the whole
that's New York arrogance. People don't want to live there.
The advertising is always trying to play towards like regular or normal or real America.
Broad.
And it's like they come to New York and L.A. to cast these commercials. Right. I shot a Maryland Lotto commercial. Guess where I got cast out of? I got cast out of New York to go to my hometown to be in a lotto commercial. Because people saw me from home and like, hey, yo, how'd you get that lottery commercial? I'm trying to be. Well, you need to move to New York.
Yeah, you need to move up here. Right. To me.
Well, it's like cars have to do, are subject to regulations of California. So like, because California has enough of a high enough percentage where their state laws about emissions and miles or whatever else. So now if you're going to make cars, it's past the tipping point. They've got to adhere to that standard. So you just do it for everybody. Same kind of thing with New York and LA. These are the two biggest population centers. Obviously, the majority of people don't live there. But those 9 million people that do, that's your best chance.
They drive a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's your best chance.
You know, they drive a lot of stuff, you know.
And those 15 people in Kenosha, Wisconsin, they don't get a voice.
Right.
No. And they're mad as hell about it.
No.
That's why they're pissed.
And then the problem is when they do get a voice, some of the people that they throw out there, you're like, what the fuck? Really, Sarah Palin? You've got your voice and this is where you're going with
just
it.
Just speaking in sound bites.
Okay.
Hey, man, it's real.
Well, you know, I think as comedians, we see it a lot because in the comedy club, it's like you're funny or you're not funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you see like the TV shows and that cast is like, all right, you're funny, but you know, they're looking for other things. You know, like Comedy Central. We can use Comedy Central as a perfect example because, you know, they're not beating down any of outdoors, but they skew very young. And it's like, you know, so you can be hilarious. You can be on a showcase for Comedy Central and be hilarious, but if you're over 40, they're going to go to the guy who's like, 20-something version of you who's not as funny.
Who's just like you, but he's not as funny.
And you're like, I'm a real comedian.
Yeah. But I'm real.
Yeah, but then they're like, well, you know what? That guy, honestly, is not going to fight me when I tell him to do this.
Right.
Because you have a set opinion on something. I say, hey, man, do this. I ain't doing this shit.
I will do that shit for the record.
Why would I do that? You know, I watched the end of Last Comic Standing the other day. Shout out to Rodman. Rodman won.
Yeah.
It was Rodman. I don't know the other
Nikki
guy.
Nikki Carr. Lachlan Patterson.
I don't even know that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with him in Canada. Lachlan Patterson.
Okay. Was he funny?
He was really funny.
Yeah. Okay. So it was the three of them, and when they were doing the announcement, I was thinking who was going to win. I said it's going to be Rodman, or it's going to be Nikki Carr. The reason why is because I said it's probably not going to be Nikki Carr because she's not a lead in a series. She's the best friend.
Right.
Rodman, you can build a show around. You can build a show around him. You can cast him as the lead. Mm. We need another Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. We need a Kevin Hart type that we can use. It'll be that guy. The other dude, Lachlan, there's 1,000 white dudes just like him. So we already got that guy cast. So we don't need us.
So what we all need is someone like us to get huge.
Exactly.
So someone else like us is needed.
To get big, and then they'll bring you in.
Right.
They'll bring you in and be like, we need somebody who's kind of like that.
Right.
And that's not to say Rodman's not talented, because I find Rodman to be very, 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 very funny.
The moral of the story is that there is so much more that goes into it than just being funny. You know, it's we said, it's like the comedy club is a very democratic place because it's like – you're funny or you're not, you know. Yeah. But it's like there are people who are famous that if the average person who knows who they are actually really saw their rise would be like, what? I've been tricked.
Yeah.
You know? So many people that like people are like, I came up with them and they ain't never get laughs.
I think the comedy club is probably the truest crucible because like little comedy scenes, there's a lot of that one thing you did was good.
Right, and that guy gets elevated to the giant fish.
There's not any, hey man, you ain't funny. None of that happened.
I worked with the guy who had a Comedy Central half hour, right? And he asked for the light at 20 minutes.
Oh, God.
And he was headlining?
Yeah, and he was headlining.
Yeah, yeah.
So That was for the 20 minutes of crowd work he was doing, so then he could do his 30 minutes that he did on the Comedy Central half hour.
I worked with a guy on SNL. I'm not going to say his name, but one of his characters is named after a fruit. Named after a fruit.
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Mango? Is this?
Yeah, a fruit.
A mango?
All right, we'll continue. Because you obviously not going to tell.
So mango?
I worked with this guy who's kind of named after a character in Blazing Saddles. Mongo, kind of named after that character. Okay. Anyway, I'm trying not to say his name. He's headlining.
Eddie Murphy?
I'm featuring. Yeah, Eddie Murphy. He's headlining. I'm featuring. A headline set is 45 to 50 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, we did the same amount of time. I stretched out.
Now, did you go long?
Yes. I stretched
they told
out.
Him to. Like, yeah. Look,
yes.
Look.
I stretched out to fill up the time. You know, that's what you. That's what.
But people bought tickets to see him.
They bought tickets to see.
So that's
the fruit.
Why he's
the fruit boy. The fruit boy. Buy tickets to see me.
Are you calling him gay? Right?
That's a terrible comment about the fruit boy.
Well, here's the thing with. Comedy clubs want to know you're going to put
asses
in the seats.
Four shows mad.
And you, as a comic, the main goal is to figure out what you're going to do that makes it so that you can put asses in the seats.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's I'm going to work my way up through the comedy clubs, be funny, and get known through my stand-up comedy, whether it's like I'm going to be an actor, and I'm going to be, you know, once I get enough acting credits where they're like, hey, as seen on this, whether it's like I'm Steve O and I never did stand up,
watch me staple my balls to the wall.
Right. You know, it's like
which he has done, people.
Right. They don't care if Steve O is funny. They're like, are there people here?
Yeah. Right.
You know? And that's the thing that a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their minds around or coming to grips with and just saying that's the way it is and I need to figure out what my angle is to become the guy that puts asses in the
seat. I spent four shows mad.
You know,
just plotting in the back. Just
I'm never going to make it again.
I'm going to get this fruit boy.
I had a conversation with somebody. It's like, you know, you always hear bad things about the bringer shows, but it's like you're always doing a bringer show. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like if you can't bring people, whether they're all your friends,
ain't gonna be no
whether
more
they're
show.
A bunch of strangers who right. know who you are, then, you know.
Yeah, that your worth is who comes to see you or how many people come to see you.
Right. Well, we get pissed, though, when clubs or whoever else does that dance of give away this many tickets or do this.
Yeah.
That's
you market our club.
Yeah, I rankle at that because my job is not promotion. It's hard enough to be funny.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think it's absurd. So
I'll do radio, but don't ask me to stand on a street corner.
Right, because that's radio's good for you. You know what I mean. That's a good thing for you. But I think that goes to bringer shows. You know what I mean? Like I understand there's always going to be some element of are you a draw or are you not? I'm not a draw, despite anything I've ever done. Nobody gives a shit. But at a certain point. Doesn't the club bear some responsibility or doesn't the venue bear some responsibility to either you're worth booking or not?
Well, the thing,
right? You see what I'm saying?
That takes the kind of the onus off the club.
Yeah. You're asking the club to actually care about comedy, which is a tall order for some people because they're like, I'm trying to sell drinks. Well, you are here to help me keep selling drinks.
But not to cut you off, but there's partly yes, and I realize I'd be naive if I was like they should care about the art form. They don't. They care about asses and seats. But doesn't some of the placing of asses and seats isn't that on them instead of on my Twitter following, my Facebook page, my promotion?
Is. Yeah, the club has to. But I think from the club's point of view, like for you, you're like I'm bringing my jokes to this, you need to.
And it's hard to be good at that.
Yeah.
Well, me personally, I post on Facebook and Twitter and all those things because I want to let people know what I'm doing. Here's one of the things I learned. Lisa Lampanelli. I've known Lisa Lampanelli before she became popular. And I remember Lisa was like the first person I ever saw sending out emails for shows.
Yeah.
And I mean, this was before other people were doing it. And then she would do, after she did the shows, she would send out emails talking about how the show was packed and how everybody had such a great time. As I got a little further and I started seeing more people becoming popular and I started producing my own shows and I realized, I'm like, I send out emails and sometimes people show up. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But the people who aren't here have no idea if people showed up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in retrospect, I'm like, I'm not sure if the shows were sold out.
Right.
And I realized that, you know, in addition to that example, and then also like when I once I started posting stuff about different things I was doing, I would go out and I would see people who never came to a show, but like, you are everywhere. And like, here I am sitting up here thinking, oh man, I don't have anybody at the shows. I'm like, these people don't know. So yeah, it's like you know, propaganda. You also realize that, you know, some of this propaganda. Promoting is like you create the perception.
Yeah.
And so that's why I do the social media, just to let people know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, because like I know for me, sometimes people are like, I didn't know you were still doing. I had a period of time where I didn't know you were still doing comedy. It's like once they started seeing me like on TV and in commercials, they were like, you know, when are you performing
that's
again?
What happens to a lot of comics though.
Right.
Once they start doing TV and commercials, that's it.
Right. It's like
I'm done.
Right. But it's like I realize I'm like, when I am going out to do shows, I'm thinking because hey, I'm making decent money from these other streams of revenue that I don't need to tell anybody because I'm happy to be getting the money.
And right. And like, then when you don't tell people, you get that tweet or email the next day. Why didn't you tell me you were at the show?
Right, because I'm doing an open mic on a Wednesday.
Yeah. And
come to the one where I get paid, Dick.
Yeah.
I post everything like all is equal. It's like if you want to see me and you think I'm funny, here's where I am.
And other people who book shows see you as a bookable person because a lot of people are using this guy.
Yeah.
So it even helps you on that front just to get your name out there. There we got one more thing before we wrap up. You want to talk about the gorilla?
Yes. Let's talk about it because the gorilla has to do with Robin Williams. RIP Robin Williams.
I'll get the article up here. Coco the gorilla misses Robin Williams.
This story was heartbreaking.
Y'all saw the video, right?
So do we, Coco. That's the article. Yeah. That's the title. when news of Robin Williams' death spread this week, fans and friends of the beloved comedian were unrestrained in their grief, and photographs released by the Gorilla Foundation. The Gorilla Foundation
reminds us
that Williams' impact on the world was so profound that it wasn't just humans whose lives he changed.
This didn't get to you, Randolph?
This is an ignorant story.
I have an angle on this.
Yeah, I loved it, but it's just...
In 2001, Coco the Gorilla, famous for her ability to communicate using sign language, spent a day in 2001. During the meeting, which the legendary actor called mind-altering and unforgettable, the duo chatted and had fun together, even tickling each other.
Saw the video.
They're both equally hairy. It was a blast, the actor said at the time. But according to the Gorilla Foundation, it was more than just fun and games. Williams, they said, managed to do something that day that was truly extraordinary. He made Coco smile. At the time of her meeting with Williams, Coco hadn't cracked a smile in more than 6 months, ever since her lifelong gorilla companion, Michael, passed away, according to the conservation group. Coco and Robin's encounter is a supreme example of how humans and gorillas can overcome interspecies boundaries, blah, blah, blah. All right. On Monday, the foundation's co-founder, Penny Patterson, reportedly broke the news to Coco that Williams had died. The gorilla is said to have reacted strongly, becoming very sad and somber as she bowed her head, her lip quivering. Why the fuck would you tell the gorilla Robin Williams died?
Why? In case she sees it on the news?
Anything in the gorilla's life is on a need-to-know basis.
In case she reads it in the paper?
At least the gorilla didn't like snapping off the head of the person.
Right. In case she reads it on the internet? Why? Why did you tell her that?
So the gorilla now is just sad and crying. Yeah. The gorilla didn't have to know Robin Williams died.
Hold on. Didn't the gorilla ask? I think the gorilla asked via sign language, like, why are you sad?
It's like, what's up?
They could have said something else.
They could have said anything.
I'm not saying the gorilla specifically asked.
They could have just told the gorilla, I'm not sad. Yeah. I'm not sad. Yeah, People tell kids that all the time.
Now, the gorilla didn't specifically say, hey, is Robin Williams dead?
The gorilla noticed people were sad, and the gorilla was in its sign language saying, hey, what's going on? Why are you guys sad? And they told the gorilla,
why?
Your boy, Robin Williams, died. And the gorilla was like, oh, no, I'm sad.
Yeah, I was like, thank you
for putting your sadness onto me. Why would you do that?
You know what? That is kind of like how I feel about if someone cheats on me. I'm like, if you cheat on me and you get away with it, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, don't tell me.
Hey, your punishment is the burden of you having to carry around that guilt. Don't put it off on me and make me unhappy. Because now I got to make a decision if we're going to stay together, even though I know you cheated on me.
And look at the sad picture. They took pictures.
I don't want to look at it.
They snapped pictures.
It's so sad.
Shit.
That's what took pictures of this sad gorilla.
Is like looking down. Look at that.
So y'all had to tell me that.
They told Coco, your boy's dead. Smile. We're going to take your picture now and post it on the internet.
Why would you tell the gorilla? You have no reason to.
You don't have to tell the gorilla.
In case you saw it on the internet.
in the moment when the gorilla asked why is everyone sad, I don't know if anybody was in the frame like of mind Tony to make Stewart up the moment. Lies.
Like, yeah. Look, I might be on gorilla Facebook or gorilla Twitter.
Yeah, no one's sad. We're not sad. What is she going to do, dispute you?
Right.
Yes, you are.
Like, I need to know.
Yeah, just say, if the gorilla says, why are you so sad? Just say, oh, I'm a Heat fan. And yeah. They lost the title.
That was 2 months ago.
I hate the Spurs. I really hate the Spurs, gorilla.
That's right. The paper was 2 months ago.
Don't judge me, Coco.
Those people should not be gorilla handlers. They clearly don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I agree with you guys. You probably should have lied to the gorilla.
Just
there.
Lie.
You don't. Gorillas don't have to know shit.
See, hey, are the gorilla handlers is white?
Yeah,
see, that comes back to that parenting thing. Yeah. Their biggest fear is that the gorilla's going to grow up and not like them or end up in gorilla therapy.
Gorilla, everything this gorilla knows is because you told it to it.
Right. The gorilla,
black gorilla hands like, look, man, mind your business. You don't want to know what we know.
Are they going to come up to the gorilla and say, Coco, you know you should be living in the jungle right now? Like, there's a whole world out there for you.
Trees, lots of trees.
Right.
You get to decide how many bananas you have.
And your sign language skills are useless.
All kinds of mad, crazy gorilla sex. You know, unlimited gorilla bitches.
Did you know that fluorescent light is not natural, Coco? There's a sun out there. You've never seen it, but there's
a sun
out there.
We're never
going to
go outside.
Oh, are you sad again? Get the camera. Is that what they did, is make gorillas sad for the Gorilla Foundation?
They
stink.
They stink. Come on,
Danny.
They stink. They stink. You don't want to be on board because it's sad.
And that's why I'm glad I did not click to find out what happens next.
Listen, I fucking clicked on it and I got sad and I realized I shouldn't have.
It's a sad thing with the Robin Williams picture with her and the thing. It's heart.
I'm in an indefensible position here because what you're saying is correct.
Fucking ridiculous.
Look at the girl's room is all dirty.
They probably started playing. They probably started playing some Carpenters. Why do birds?
Why tell them? There's no reason to tell her.
Rainy days and Mondays.
There's no reason to tell.
So much Sarah McLachlan.
The gorilla like should me. Just they should just keep it happy
they love
all the time
to close to you. That's so ridiculous. They had no reason to tell that gorilla
they shouldn't
that.
Have told.
She's gonna read it in the paper. She's gonna read it in the paper.
Someone's gonna tweet at the gorilla.
Hey, how about
Billy
this?
Crystal's coming. He's gonna tell her.
How about we just don't give her papers for a while?
Right. Just don't. Yeah. Line her
out,
cage. Some other
it's
shit.
Out of the headlines.
You don't have to give her the newspaper. She doesn't have. I mean,
we
she
have
might
to cut
have
off her internet access.
And how fluent is the gorilla in sign language? You don't have to have in depth conversations. Gorilla sitting there. Hey, Coco. Hey, Coco, come here for a second.
Coco's like, we need to tell you something.
We got to tell you something. Remember that hairy dude that you met 15 years ago?
Robin, he was a really good friend of yours. And you only saw him that one time.
Changed your life, though, gorilla. Remember
but it was so deep to you that it
life?
Stayed with you for
you were sad because Michael died. Remember when Michael died? Are you sad again because
I've forgotten
that?
About that.
Sorry,
thank you.
To bring it up again.
Jesus Christ.
But then we told you, Robin Williams. Remember Robin Williams?
The only other person who's ever made you happy besides Michael?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Guess what? Guess what?
What?
He's dead.
He's with Michael.
With Michael now. Making Michael happy.
And then the sad thing is she probably didn't even cry. She just sat there with her head down with one little salty deer.
No, I read the whole goddamn thing. And her lip quivered. She said,
her lip quivered.
What did she say? Coco sad.
Oh, yeah.
God. And then like
she signed it, yeah.
Yeah, Coco signed sad. Coco sad. Then something about her lip. She said like
her lip
Coco
quivered.
Sit with like, with her sad lip.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what she said. Went in the corner and sat down. Oh, it was dusty as shit in my apartment right then.
Why tell her that?
And Coco's sitting there like, should I rip their arms off?
Why?
I can't. I can do that.
I have the power.
I can do that.
I'll teach them to tell another person about it.
Into her.
And they'll kill me, and I can be with Michael and Rob.
Why put that emotion into her? Why? What do you gain from that? Besides something you can get clicks on?
There's no upside.
Coco is now a goth gorilla. Just sad all the time, cutting herself.
She's got black eyeliner on.
What if Coco just busted in here right now because we were cracking jokes on her?
I would be like, we're not talking about you. We're trying to figure out a way to sign that.
Somebody's got to know sign language.
We got your back.
She just signed I'm pissed before she tore your arms off.
Coco's like, she's Coco signing pissed. Unsubscribe from Three Guys On, please.
Rip our
that is
arms
fucking
off and beat us with
I will say this real quick
leap to that.
About Robin Williams.
Yeah.
There have been a ton of celebs that have passed untimely of late. That's the one that affected me the most, I think.
Really? That's the one that got you? Because Greg Giraldo was the one that got me.
Well, Robin Williams seemed so full of life.
Well,
he didn't, I mean, he had demons, but he seemed like he was really like.
Did you listen to Marc Maron?
I haven't, no.
He reposted on Mondays. Mondays, so it's two back now.
Rainy Days and
he
Mondays.
He interviewed him like
2010.
2010, mm-hmm. And then he reposted the interview. Yeah. It was good. It was
I actually have that saved to listen to on my good. Podcast. It's but, good. You know, what I always try to do and what I've been doing lately, because it's always so much negativity talking about people dying or death rumors, is I just try to remember that Abe Vigoda is still alive.
He is still alive. Abe Vigoda is a Highlander. That, but you know what? He's aging. So he's more like
he looks more like a gorilla every day.
You know who he looks like? He looks like the old vampire in Blade 2. You know the old one? You know what I'm talking about?
That bathes in blood and comes out.
That's
and
Abe Vigoda.
My whole thing is this. No matter Abe what Vigoda. Happens, Abe Vigoda will always be alive to me.
It seems like it. He's not going anywhere. Abe Vigoda.
Even when he's gone, I'm going to start spray painting Abe Vigoda lives.
But just back, I idolize Patrice O'Neill. I love James Gandolfini as an actor. He was one of my favorites in The Sopranos.
Both gone,
they're both gone. I'm blanking on the guy's name. He's got a movie coming out. Three names. Oscar winner, brilliant. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I loved him
too. What tremendous talents. But for some reason, Robin Williams made me the saddest of all those.
He's hairy.
Is that what it is?
You're hairy, he's hairy.
That's our symmetry.
You know I don't know. I kind of withdraw and get introspective in these types of situations. I found that for a few days, I just stayed away from social media and stuff like that. And I mean, you throw in the other things that have been going on in the world.
Right.
But I tend not to get extremely sad when celebrities die.
I don't know about stuff that. I
think suicide is sadder too.
I reposted when people would tweet something poignant about him. Like usually it was always a comic who had an interaction with him.
He took a lot of pictures with people. That's all I know.
Share that on my on my face. That's
a lot of them were like, the time I met Robin. I'm am I the only comedian?
But you know what the thing is that a lot of them got to get a little self-indulgent because they're like, you know, I made them laugh once. You know,
it's Jamie Kilstein.
It became so much about them. I'm like,
Jamie Kilstein had a Tumblr thing about, basically it was like, Robin liked me a lot.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's not about
everybody,
you, dude.
Robin laughed at everybody. Oh my God.
The other thing
came over and said hi to me
is that
across the room.
The next day it seemed like everybody had mental illness.
Everybody
came out of the mental illness
closet.
I feel
the same way,
I think my mental illness is that I think I'm fine. You know, it's like...
that
could
denial.
I mean, seriously, it's like, you know, when people point out stuff about comedians are so this and so that, and I'm like, I'm always like, I think everybody else is crazy.
Right.
I'm like,
maybe that's your craziness.
I think people who are, and I'm using quotation fingers, are crazy. We don't think there's anything wrong with us.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, that's what crazy people think.
That's what you're saying.
I mean, I get it. But I mean,
you're king.
You're the one who sees the demons. You know what I mean?
But I'm also the guy that I hang with comedians and stuff. But I'm also like, then I have times where I'm like, I don't want to be around y'all. You know, not y'all, but I'm like, you know,
I just want to be around adults. That's the big thing with me now. I just want to be around adults. I don't really want to have to shepherd children anymore.
One thing about hanging around comedians, I think you get what I call, this is my own diagnosis, I call it comedians' mad cow disease. It's like there's a certain way of being, a certain sense of humor that we have. It's you know, mad cow disease began because the cows were eating
each other.
And it's like we start feeding off each other and we get this crazy warped sense of humor and then don't understand why people don't.
That's what makes us comics. But I do understand that. I just don't. Seinfeld said it best. It's like he can't talk to civilians. I can't. When I'm around, like when we go to the playground or something, you're going to find this one out. When you go to the playground, you can't talk to the other parents. You're not going to be able to. You're just not.
Does that get pissed at him or what?
No, you are going to get pissed at him. That's going to be a big part of it. You're going to get pissed at him. That's going
to
be a
big part. I talk to him, but then I talk about him after.
I can't talk to him.
Or I get my wife and I tap and I'm like pointing out people.
I do that one a lot. I just sit with my headphones on. I watch Abe or I'll go play with him. But to talk to other parents, I'm like, oh, God. Well, it's a couple things.
They think you're the crazy one.
They do. I'm going to say something that's going to offend them. Trying to be funny.
Yeah, but that's you. You always do that, though.
Yeah, I know. I know. But comics handle it. This is the thing. Yeah. It's hard talking to civilians because a comic will be like, oh, yeah, and they'll riff on it because you're used to having conversations with other comedians.
But I know some dumb shit about,
you know, I was thinking about not vaccinating Skylar, and I got to just look down like...
But you know, that's the warped part of me that I think is the comedian in me, that I get a kick out of making people uncomfortable. But especially like when, like the last birthday party I went to with my son, they got into this lighthearted racial conversation.
Oh, those are always lighthearted.
And then I always say something that just kind of brings the room down. Yeah. And then I'm just laughing to myself. Yeah,
those are always lighthearted.
Rachel. You're definitely not crazy, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like a fox.
It's hard to have a conversation with civilians. You know, it's just.
I think Keegan is gluten irritant. You're a pussy. Yeah,
I know. I think you're a pussy.
You think he's what?
It's like you ain't tried him enough. You got to keep feeding him that stuff.
He's what? You should bathe him in trash. Just put him in trashy water. That's what works. That's what kept polio away in the 20s.
Trash water? Yeah. Is that what it was?
Like my son
had a tantrum on the train coming down here. Really, I think it stemmed from it was like 10:05. He goes to bed like 8 o'clock. Right. And so he's acting a fool. So I took him out of the train and I like, you know, like, dude, you better get in there. And you know, and I'm like, you know, just thinking of how I've seen some parents have this this communication with their kids. And I'm like, it cracks me up to see this stuff on the playground. And I'm like, you know, y'all, the kid has too much say. He's like,
you'll see, Danny.
The negotiating.
It's like they run the asylum. Believe me.
If you get off the swing now, it's four.
He got the most negotiation he could possibly get because I'm like, I cannot knock this fool out on his train. But I was like, dude, you're going to get us thrown off this train. Everybody right now is looking at us like, oh, not them.
It's going to be your fault. Yeah.
It's like, because my son goes through these phases. Like right now, he's decided that he has a backpack that deserves as much space as any human being. So he sits in his chair and then he sits the backpack in my chair. And I'm like, he's like, you need to go. I'm like, I need to sit down.
Right. Sit that backpack down.
And I realized that was the issue. And I was like, you know, once I realized.
Beat your ass.
I was like, that was why you raised hell in this. Man, if this was the 70s, I would have knocked you out in this show and picked you up. And like, who else wants some?
As I was listening to Across 110th Street. Listen, people.
Yeah, we got to wrap up.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. Danny and Rick, I want to thank you guys so much for sitting in with us today, as well as Monday. That's where you guys say thank you.
Our pleasure, man.
Well, we were waiting for you to finish the sentence.
Having you guys.
Like,
I want to thank you guys so much. Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves.
Great time.
We did, man.
Definitely want you guys to come back. Give your handles again.
At Funny Danny for me.
At Rick Younger on Instagram, on Twitter. You know,
keep it coming.
Yes, rickyounger.net, rickyounger.com.
Somebody
I might even have .org or
somebody
.org.
Tweet at
.edu.
Somebody tweet at Funny Danny and tell him he's good enough, he's smart enough, and damn it, people like him. So just tweet at him and tell him that.
I love compliments so
start
much.
Start to balance out the hate.
The hate.
Yeah.
Why do you hate the Redskins so much, Danny?
We want to thank you guys, so much as always, for coming in with us. And come back on Monday. We'll be here for you guys. Hopefully, Tim will be back. If not, somebody else will be. You know, who knows? Who knows? Listen, I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And sitting with us today, we have
Danny Ruya.
And also
Rick Younger.
We are four guys on today, people. We are out.